Hey, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. Man, I want to thank you for taking time to tune in today. We're in the School of Acts, and we're going to be talking about the working of miracles. Now, we're going to be coming out of this manual called the School of Acts, and if you don't have it yet, you need to get it. And go to our website, make contact with us. We'll make sure we help you get this manual. It's a Bible school course. And it's more than that. This is a book designed really to help lay the foundation back and understanding back into believers' lives to understand the first century church. I think that once we understand the blueprint, what was at the beginning, then we're able to begin to walk into what God has for us now. And so today we're in the working of miracles. And so we're going to take time as well to do some other teachings just to lay a more complete foundation because we want to walk out of this with, intense faith to believe God for this realm of who he is. And when you think about miracles, I want you to be thinking about the power of God, who God is, and saying, okay, I'm tired of living the life of faith I'm on. It's time to extend further, break the boundaries, and get out there into a greater faith and also a greater faith in walking in the power and the presence of the Lord. Now, let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's just launch into this thing. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you're the God of miracles, and they're not miracles to you. It's just you working, but it's miracles to us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive, that, Father, that when we come out of these studies, we're going to be more like Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, when we get into the working of miracles, I want to lay a foundation before we get into the actual School of Acts book concerning the power of God. Let's look in the book of Psalms and just look at some scriptures just to kind of get a flavor here of our God is a God of power. Psalms 21:13, so make note, Psalms 21:13, the Bible says, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in your own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power." Psalms 59:16, "I will sing of thy power." That's pretty amazing. I mean, to sit down and just start going, I'm singing about your power, your ability. And I don't know, you can maybe start singing about the Red Sea. That was power. And or just pick creation, singing about how God created the stars and that he's my God. He's my heavenly Father. Psalm 62:11. "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God." Psalm 63:2. "To see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Psalm 66:7. "He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves." Psalms 111:6. "He hath showed his people the power of his works." Boy, he's not holding back from wanting to show his people his ability. Psalms 145:11. "They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power." Can you imagine that? We're admonished to talk about his power. And so let's go one more. Acts 2:11. Now this is going up into the New Testament. And the Bible says in verse 11, this is the nations. They're listening to the church. They're praying and singing and new tongues are just, every tongue that you can imagine of the nations. And so these guys are listening and they say this, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And when you go into the Greek language, the word wonderful works, it simply means the miracles. the mighty works of God, the miracles of God. And so while the church, on that first day of the church, the power of God comes down, shakes Jerusalem, and crowds are gathering together. And the first miracle, I believe, is that everybody there could say, hey, out of a crowd of people praying and speaking in languages, I can hear my language distinctly, and I can hear it so well, I can tell it's in my accent, and it's like a fluent person. And everybody was saying this. So, I mean, that's a real miracle that people could differentiate every language that was being spoken, because I've been in church services where there's a lot of people, and when everybody is praying and speaking in tongues, I can't hear what they're saying. I can't hear the accent that they're speaking in. But these guys did, and that's a miracle. And so we do hear them speak in our own tongues, in our own dialect where we were born, the wonderful miracles of God. So God has placed it that you know, we need to be singing and praising his power, singing of thy power, because power belongs to God. We need to desire to see thy power and thy glory, as the psalmist says, because he rules by his power. And you know what? The Bible says he has showed his power and his works to his people. So when we get into miracles, I believe that we need to begin to, with the Word of God, change our expectation. We need to start singing of the power of God. We need to start talking about the power of God. And as we do, there's going to be an atmosphere around us created of his ability and of his power. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to realize, I saw God's power today. This got moved out of the way. It should have hurt me. I should have been hurt, but it was moved. Well, it was the power of God. You've been talking of his power. You've been praising his power. And all of a sudden, you're seeing his power operate on your behalf. Now, in order to continue to lay this foundation, I want to talk about miracles are for today. Now, like I said, we're going to get to the school of Acts. We're laying a foundation first. So in order to lay this foundation before we get to Acts and really look at it, we need to know that there is a miracle zone. And you say, well, what do you mean by a miracle zone? Well, when you go to like a city in Europe, London, or France, or Paris, France, there are zones, and in those zones, those cities, there are certain rules that go into operation there. For example, my pastor friend in Paris, he had a diesel car. The car was over 10 years old, and so in the zone where he lived, he was not allowed to drive that car except in the evenings on certain days, because it was too old, it was of a different environmental status, and so there were rules in the zone where he lived that governed that car. And with that, there are policemen in those zones that know the rules, and they are officiating and policing that those rules are in operation. So I want you to begin to think, the miracle zone, the miracle zone. That means there's a zone, and inside that zone, there are different laws that operate than the ones outside of it. So inside the zone is where we're going to begin to go. Okay. Now, Matthew 19:26, the Bible declares, and Jesus beheld them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Oh, powerful. With God, all things are possible. So in this God zone, everything that was impossible now comes into this realm, and it is possible. Mark 9:23, And Jesus said unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, with God, all things are possible. And in that zone, all things are possible to him that believes. So there is no barrier, or I should say ceiling or cap, that controls. God says, if you can believe it, all things are possible. I didn't say this, the Lord said it. And it's up to us to begin to press into it, to say, okay, that changes my view of God, because he says there's no boundary or barrier. He wants me to use my faith and rise up to a new level. Isaiah 41:10, the Bible says, fear thou not, I am with you. We are in the miracle zone. God says, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. With God, all things are possible. So my desire, as we lay this foundation, is that you begin to say, okay, I'm in a different place because I'm with God. And God said, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Oh, boy, sure. We live on this planet. God understands that. But he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. All things are possible with God. Now, number two, Jesus, the miracle maker. Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know. Whew. Jesus was a man approved by God with what? Miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Bible says it was God who was working these miracles, signs, and wonders through Jesus. He was approved of God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, approved by God, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's not changed. He's approved of God. He says, I am exactly the same. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. The works of Jesus. Well, yeah, he fed the poor, and he fed a lot of people. I mean, he fed people that weren't poor when he only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so the works of Jesus, they were in the natural realm, but they were also in the spirit realm, the possibility realm. And so don't see miracles as, you know, kind of the spooky, oh, it was a miracle. No, see it as in that realm of communion with God, that with God all things are possible. Fear not, I am with you. Now let's go to number three here. So number one, miracle zone. Number two, Jesus the miracle maker. Number three, God put miracles in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, and God hath set some in the church. So these are talking about people. They're talking about offices. These aren't the gifts. These are offices. So, for example, you go to church and you say, hi, Pastor Bob, Pastor Tim. These are men who are in the office of a pastor. Well, 1 Corinthians 12:28 says that there's other offices. There's not just a pastor. There are miracles. It's an office. It's an office that Jesus himself has appointed, and the Father has set it down into the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and verse 10, to another the working of miracles. Now, these are charisma operations of the Holy Spirit, and they're given as the Holy Spirit wills. So you have the Lord who has administrators, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, but also within this mix, there are those who are called miracles. And then the Holy Spirit comes and says, well, I have charisma operations called miracles. And when these two offices and operations connect, the office with the power, all of a sudden, boom, you have an explosion of God's power in the earth, and it's God who said it, it's God who made it, and it pleases him. It's his church, it's not mine. And so that's why we're just looking at the scriptures here. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow after love, desire spiritual gifts. So God has put it in the church. The Holy Spirit has gifts of the workings of miracles. And then Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, you need to be desiring these things. And then last but not least, Galatians 3, verse 5, he that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So all of this that we're going to be looking at, you and I need to be attuning the ear of faith, the hearing of faith. Mark chapter 4, Jesus admonishes over and over, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Part of that is because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so the Lord is admonishing us that you need to begin to attune the ear of faith into these things so that you can walk in them, so that they can be operating in his body, in his church, in the days that we live in. Oh, isn't that exciting? Well, let me just pray one more time. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you that we desire these things, just as your word says, desire spiritual gifts, desire the working of miracles. So, Father, right now, as we continue in this, we desire miracles in Jesus' name. Now, what we want to do before we get actually back into the School of Acts, the book, I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at Jesus operating in miracles. And in fact, there's so many examples, but we're just going to take one. And Matthew chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 23, Matthew 14 and verse 23. And the Bible says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain by himself to pray. So this realm of miracles, to live in this power, prayer is crucial. In fact, we read it earlier that on the day of Pentecost, as they were declaring their prayer tongues up to the Father, they were declaring what? The mighty works of God. And they didn't know what they were praying. The Bible says your natural intellect is unfruitful. But in the Spirit, they were declaring from the earth, from the footstool, up to the throne, they were declaring God's power. That's why Satan hates this so much. And that's why he raises up religious people to attack it, to get you to back away from it. Well, we're not backing away. We're going to move forward. We're going to break these boundaries, and we're going to believe for the power of God. So he went up to pray, verse 24. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea. He's walking in miracles. And I understand when it says walking on the sea, but the truth is he was walking on the power of God. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They cried out for fear. Now, they cried out for fear. These are the apostles. These are the guys that are going to kind of be the foundation of leadership to the church. And guess what? They're no different than you, no different than me. And I mean, it's kind of hard to think about Peter crying, but the Bible says he's crying out. Immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I." What? "Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, command me to come unto you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they came up into the ship, the wind ceased. I just love this because here's Jesus. He's in strong prayer. He's alone with the Father. And I don't know what that prayer meeting must have been like, but I mean, here's Jesus after he's done communing with the Father. I don't even know if he realized it, that he was walking on water. He just started walking, probably was just fellowshipping with the Father. "Oh, I'm walking on water." I mean, he was in such power, such presence. And you can understand why in the book of Luke, when Jesus had finished praying, the disciples said, "Lord, can you teach us to pray?" There was such an atmosphere around Jesus when he prayed. I mean, you just wanted to be around him when he came out of his prayer closet, speaking with the Father face to face. And so it must have been a little bit what Joshua, when he was in the tent and Moses was meeting face to face with the Father and talking with him. And over in the corner was old Joshua. And Joshua's just like, "Oh, the presence of God in this place is just amazing." And Moses went out, but I don't think Joshua stayed behind and just stayed in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord didn't mind. I think the Lord was teaching him to fellowship. Now let's go back. Jesus walking on the water. These guys are screaming. And all of a sudden we see an operation of the gift of prophecy, a word that edifies, exhorts, and comforts. It's a simple word. And it goes forth, and that word changed the atmosphere in Peter's heart. He went from screaming and crying now to, "Hey, I'm ready to walk into miracles." And Jesus says, "Well, come." Peter begins to come. He's doing it. He's walking in the power of God, walking on the water. But then he begins to look at the wind. Listen to the wind. He's looking at the waves. He's listening to the waves. He begins to sink. And what does Jesus do? He saves him. He says, "Thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And the last thing I want to close with, little faith can move mountains as long as the little faith isn't mixed with doubt. Peter had walked into miracles on little faith. But little faith can be tempted and often fails because of the temptation. So Jesus gently rebukes him. "Why did you doubt? Your little faith was doing big things. Don't doubt." Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends as we conclude this first session on miracles. And Lord, as we're getting ready to go into the School of Acts on the second session, I just pray that your anointing and your glory would strengthen us. And Lord, that our desire would be to walk into miracles. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this is Eric Casso. I want to thank you. This is the School of Acts. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And we love you. Jesus loves you. Until the next session, God bless you. Bye-bye.